From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. Takes place. We've got to stop this inhuman race. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise in defense of Mother Earth. Earth First.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and about the folks who have detailed information on saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio. And I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods up in a tripod or a tree sit or locked down at the dragon at the road blockade. And if you do have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep that pencil handy and listen for the contact information in the latter half of the second hour, half hour of the show. And let's get started right off the top with our activist news. And this one's entitled, Bare-Breasted Forest Activist Goes to Court. Logging protests continue against the Mendocino Redwood Company and the Gap. 10 forest activists charged with trespassing in Mendocino County, including a woman who bares her breasts to stop logging in the coastal redwoods, appeared at 10 Mile Justice Court in Fort Bragg this past Tuesday, February 13th. La Tigresa, who has conducted several striptease for the trees at active logging sites, is among the Mendocino 10 facing charges. The protests for which the activists were arrested took place in Kaizen Gulch, a redwood forest being logged by the Mendocino Redwood Company, which is owned by the Fisher family, who also own the Gap clothing chain. That includes Gap, Old Navy, and Banana Republic. Activists have called for a boycott of Gap clothing stores for the last 2 years, and protests are ongoing. Coming up is a community vigil, candlelight vigil for a jailed logging protester. Community to show support for Yuba Nation activists. That's coming up next Tuesday, February 20th at 6 p.m. at the Wayne Brown Correctional Facility, 925 Maidu Avenue in Nevada City, California. Why? Because last month, five members of Yuba Nation, a nonviolent direct action group, were convicted of criminal charges in their protests against Sierra Pacific Industries' clear-cutting of the Sierra Nevada. As a result of those convictions, Yuba Nation activists were ordered to pay restitution to the logging contractor and steep fines. In addition, the activists are required to work for Nevada County as part of a work release program, and they were all put on 2 years probation, or until the fines and restitution are paid in full. One Yuba Nation member, Brian Vincent, requested jail time instead of work release to further elevate the issue of industrial logging, and will be incarcerated in the Wayne Brown Correctional Facility from February 17th to the 27th. He will refuse any food while in jail. When Sierra Pacific Industries threatened to log along the Yuba River last year, few had ever heard of the timber company. In fact, for the last several years, Sierra Pacific Industry has operated below the radar screen, quietly acquiring land and then plotting to clear-cut much of it. Sierra Pacific Industries, which now owns 1.5 million acres in California, has become the second largest private landowner in the U.S. Brian Vincent's decision to give up his freedom is symbolic of the sacrifices people throughout the Sierra Nevada are making to stop Sierra Pacific Industries' clear-cutting rampage. You want more information? Contact Yuba Nation, 530-265-7366. That's 530-265-7366. And once again, that candlelight vigil in front of the Wayne Brown Correctional Facility in Nevada City, California, is next Tuesday, February 20th at 6 p.m. That's 925 Maidu Avenue in Nevada City. Here's the Buffalo Field Report from Montana. Big fluffy flakes of snow fell on our camp last week. Volunteers are tired from a long week of activity in the field. We have two less patrols this morning because our 14 friends no longer graze peacefully along the Madison River. Montana Department of Livestock brought out their helicopter and hazed the magnificent bulls back into Yellowstone. The helicopter flew very low over this wildlife-rich area, disturbing all in its path. One of the sad aspects of the new bison management plan is that they are now using this machine inside Yellowstone National Park. Buffalo Field Campaign volunteers were able to obtain video footage of the copter as it flushed a variety of wildlife, shooting cracker rounds and running a siren while its prop wash sent columns of snow into the air. We are also investigating a strange liquid discharge that was documented coming out of the copter. If anyone is an expert on these things, please contact the Buffalo Field Campaign. Those contact information in just a minute. We have received a bit of snow lately, but are desperately in need of moisture. Montana sits at 45% of their normal snowpack and is facing a drought whose repercussions could well go beyond the wildfires of last summer. Without the runoff of mountain snow, all life in the Rockies is threatened. As we ponder the reality of the situation, the Department of Livestock is willing to do anything to keep bison out of Montana. We are thankful the bison are still alive and that four bulls remain in the Horse Butte area. We also know that these bulls would have been shot on sight in the past and that our presence in the field has changed that. Our hope is that more people learn about the madness perpetrated against wild bison. These noble creatures will receive the protection they deserve. And here's some requests from the Bison Field Campaign Field Coordinator. They are looking for rechargeable walkie-talkies, Capeline Long John Bottoms, size large, warm gloves, a large size pack, and cross-country ski boots. No, we're not talking about the ski shoes. We're talking about real-life cross-country ski boots, high-top boots, suitable for backcountry work in deep snow. If you are a backcountry cross-country skier, you know what they're looking for. These are not track shoes. These are ski boots. For the Buffalo, signed Peter Lusch, Buffalo Field Campaign, P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. Once again, that address, Buffalo Field Campaign, P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. And give them a call at 406-646-0070. That's 406-646-0070. Or you can send email to buffalo@wildrockies.org. That's buffalo@wildrockies.org. And, of course, their webpage, www.wildrockies.org/buffalo. And now we move to Norway. We have three different stories about the Norwegian wolves. Let's backtrack to February 12th. Norway wolf trackers start their controversial hunt. Norwegian trackers began a controversial wolf hunt last Saturday as dozens of environmentalists fanned out in snow-covered forests to try and stop the cull. Norway has sanctioned the shooting of nine wolves blamed for killing sheep, breaking the policy set in the mid-1990s of encouraging predators to return to their former habitat in southern Scandinavia. We've sent out three or four trackers with snow scooters and skis, hunt leader Leonard Mikkelsen told Reuters in Hansted, eastern Norway. We don't know where the wolves are. The trackers are without guns. Norway says there are 12 packs in wolf packs in southern Scandinavia, or about 120 wolves, a little above their goal of 8 to 10 packs. It blames the animals, including the targeted pack, of killing 612 sheep last year. Mikkelsen said the chase could well last for weeks. The hunting permit runs from now until April, and that many environmentalists trying to disrupt the cull would give up with bone-chilling temperatures of minus 30 degrees C. We've good time and it's cold, he said. We reckon that when the environmentalists, have made their point, we'll carry out the hunt more easily. Dozens of protesters were trying to disrupt the shootings by going on ski trips deep into the forest. I'll stay here as long as it takes, said Sven Soleri, a 27-year-old postman who said he was part of a team of up to 30 people who planned to sleep out in the woods in shifts. His group was also hiring a light plane to try and spot the wolves. The World Wildlife Fund environmental group says there are only 80 wolves in South Norway and Sweden, and the stocks are far too small to withstand a cull. It says there are 30 to 40 wolves in Norway. Wolves are the smallest predator problem in Norway, said Rasmus Hansen, head of the World Wildlife Fund in Norway. This hunt is a silly signal to the outside world about how Norway is managing one of its rarest animal populations. He said that 133,000 sheep out of the 133,000 sheep out of 2.2 million in Norway were lost every year under a policy of allowing them to roam freely without any shepherds. About 33,000 were killed by predators, mostly wolverines and lynx, with only 800 killed by wolves. Norwegian hunters seeking to kill 9 wolves in the forests of southeast Norway have received anonymous death threats from opponents of the cull, a spokesman said on Sunday. Hampered by heavy snow, members of a 23-strong team of hunters ended a second day of the hunt without even spotting a wolf. Dozens of environmentalists are camped out to scare the wolves away. And moving to story number 3, Norwegian environmentalists went to court last Tuesday trying to halt a state-sanctioned hunt for 9 wolves in the forests of southeastern Norway. The wolves have luckily not been killed so far. Let us pray they are not killed while we are standing here in court, said Nils Ilian Ram, lawyer for the environmentalists. The court, expected to reach a decision by Friday, has the power only to order a postponement of the hunt, but a delay could allow environmentalists to appeal to higher courts. These organizations have been forced to go to court in order to seek a temporary delay until appeals against the hunt have been properly dealt with, Ram said. The 3 plaintiffs, the World Wildlife Fund for Nature, Friends of the Earth Norway, and Norway's Wildlife Union, have had earlier appealed against the Norwegian Department decision to kill the wolves. Those appeals were turned down by the Environmental Ministry. Oh, boy. And we want to thank Reuters News Service and, Reuters News for all that information. Let's do some announcements here. Conserving Wildlife at the Start of the 21st Century, Politics and Realities is happening February 22nd through the 24th in Sacramento, California. This is the Wildlife Society's 2001 annual meeting for the Western Section. Workshop topics include habitat mapping, habitat restoration, wildlife translocation, sage-grouse forest management, and media relations. For more information, contact Barry Garrison of the California Department of Fish and Game. His number, 916-653-1738. That's 916-653-1738. And once again, Conserving Wildlife at the Start of the 21st Century, Politics and Realities is February 22nd through the 24th in Sacramento, California. Also coming up that same time period is the National Forest Activist Training. The Wilderness Society is hosting an advanced National Forest Activist Training on February 23rd, 24th, and 25th at the Hulbert Outdoor Center in Fairleigh, Vermont. The training is structured to give everyone from beginning activists to professional environmental staff the resources and tools to effectively protect national forests. Cost for the weekend is $35 per person, includes lodging and all meals. For more information, contact Heather Dowie or Julie Wormser. Their number is 617-350-8866. That's 617-350-8866. Or you can send me an email to julie_wormser, W-O-R-M-S-E-R, at tws.org. And Arctic Wilderness Week 2001, February 24th through the 28th in Washington, D.C. This is a free advocacy and leadership training, your opportunity to dedicate your ideas, energy, and passion to the campaign to protect the Arctic Refuge and its dazzling array of wildlife, which includes polar bears, grizzlies, caribou, and thousands of migratory birds from the ravages of oil and gas development. At Arctic Wilderness Week, you will meet other Arctic refugee advocates from all over the country, learn and improve advocacy skills applicable to any campaign, meet face-to-face with members of Congress, fight for permanent protection for the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and have an unforgettable time in Washington, D.C. Space is limited. There are a few travel scholarships available. For more information, visit the Arctic Wilderness Week website at www.alaskawild.org. That's www.alaskawild, all one word, .org. or contact Jen. Her number, 202-544-5205. That's 202-544-5205. And there's a hike coming up on February 24th in Eugene, Oregon. It's a hike to the Judy Timber Sale on Spectacular Hardesty Mountain. Once again, that's Saturday, February 24th, leaving from 10 a.m. from the Growers Market at 454 Willamette in Eugene, Oregon. If you want more information, contact George Sexton at 541-349-9660. That's 541-349-9660 or WAFC at teleport.com. Also coming up is the third annual National Forest Protection Alliance Spring Strategic Retreat. This is happening February 26th through March 1st at Brighton Bush Hot Springs in Oregon. This strategy session of the National Forest Protection Alliance will include the following topics: non-commercial restoration, building your state network, a review of the purpose and structure of the National Forest Protection Act, and the National Forest Protection and Restoration Act. Registration deadline is February 19th. If you'd like more information, contact the National Forest Protection Alliance. Their email is nfpa@wildrockies.org. That's nfpa@wildrockies.org. Or you can give them a call at 406-542-7565. Once again, the number 406-542-7565. Looking for Robert Hoyt? Well, on the 21st of February, Robert will be in Ukiah, California at the Ukiah Brewing Company, corner of Perkins and State Street at 8:30. On the 22nd, he'll be in Willits, California at 7 p.m. at the Shaughnessy Pub, 50B Main, behind the Purple Thistle. On the 23rd of February at the Garberville, California Benefit for Stable Slopes Dinner at 6 p.m. with music at 7 at the Garberville Civic Club at 477 Maple Lane. Robert Hoyt will be in Arcata the 24th of February at 8 p.m. at Founders Hall, number 125 Humboldt State University. On the 25th in Arcata at 7 p.m. at the Muddy Waters Coffee House. And moving into Oregon, he'll be in Roseburg, Oregon on the 28th at the Umpqua Brewing Company. It says new location question mark, so I don't know where that is, but the Umpqua Brewing Company can't be too hard to find in Roseburg, Oregon. I believe I've actually drunk beer there. At 8 p.m., we'll have more Robert Hoyt appearances next week. Looking for Casey Neal? Casey Neal will be in Tacoma, Washington at the Wintergrass Festival on February 24th. For more information, go to www.wintergrass.com. And a lot of great people. Casey says he'll play the Saturday night Celtic show and then another set during the day. So get your butt to Tacoma, Washington to listen to Casey Neal. Live in Southern California, the U.S. Forest Service is holding public meetings. These meetings will address the need for amendments to the Southern California Forest Land Management Plans. It says here, we'd like everyone to look carefully to see if all primary watersheds and related streams are being studied for protection under the Wild and Scenic River Act. Here are your public workshop schedules for the Angeles National Forest. Friday, February 23rd at the Lakeview Terrace Recreation Center in Lakeview Terrace, California at 6 p.m. Saturday, February 24th at Patriotic Hall, that's at 1816 South Figueroa Street in Los Angeles, California at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And on Tuesday, February 27th at the Glendora Public Library, 140 South Glendora Avenue in Glendora, California at 6 p.m. For the Cleveland National Forest, the meeting is Wednesday, February 21st at the Alpine Community Center, 1830 Alpine Boulevard in Alpine, California, from 6:30 to 9. Tuesday, February 27th at the Julian Town Hall, 2129 Main Street in Julian, California, from 6:30 to 9 p.m. And Wednesday, February 28th at the Ramona Community Center, 434 Aqua Lane in Ramona, California, from 6:30 to 9. For the Los Padres National Forest, the meeting is Tuesday, February 22nd at the Goleta Union School District Office, 401 North Fairview Avenue in Goleta, California, from 6 to 9. Tuesday, February 27th at Rancho Del Rey, 655 Burnham Road in Oak View, California. That meeting is from 6 to 9. And Wednesday, February 28th in the Fraser Park Community Hall, 300 Park Drive in Fraser Park, California, from 6 to 9. Moving down to San Bernardino County for the San Bernardino National Forest, the next meeting is Wednesday, February 21st at the Rick Novak Community Center, Assembly Room 2, 13558 Palm Street in Hesperia, California, from 6 to 9 p.m. And Saturday, February 24th at the County Administrative Center, Supervisors Chambers, 385 North Arrowhead Avenue in San Bernardino, California, from 9 a.m. till noon. There are more meetings scheduled for March, and I will read those meetings as we get closer to March. Rocky Mountain National Park is seeking public comment. The National Park Service has recommended closing Rocky Mountain National Park to all snowmobile use except for one trail approximately 2 miles long that provides access to U.S. Forest Service land west of the park, popular with snowmobiles. The park also proposes to close a 16-mile-long portion of Trail Ridge Road, which has remained open to snowmobiles. Last year, the agency released a draft environmental assessment outlining different management alternatives for snowmobiles in the Rocky Mountain National Park. The National Park Conservation Association is in support of the Park Service's preferred alternative number one, which would permanently close Trail Ridge Road and maintain the closure of Summerland Park Snowmobile Trail and Bowen Gulch Access Trail. Take action. Even though the snowmobile rider passed Congress last year and is preventing the National Park Service from enforcing the snowmobile closure for now, the National Park Service can proceed with collecting comments and evaluating snowmobile management alternatives. Your comments can make a difference and will be accepted through February 27th. Here's the address. Superintendent, Rocky Mountain National Park, Estes Park, Colorado, 80517. Once again, please support Alternative 1. Send your comments by February 27th to Superintendent, Rocky Mountain National Park, Estes Park, Colorado, 80517. If you want to submit your comments by email, here's the address, romo_superintendent@nps.gov. That's romo_superintendent@nps.gov. And if you have any questions about snowmobiles, contact Ken Collins at the following address, kcollins, K-C-O-L-L-I-N-S, at npca.org. And letters are needed to save salamanders from cows. A new species of salamander and several new species of invertebrates have been discovered in caves to the north of Fort Hood, Texas, by Dr. James Riddell of the University of Texas, Austin. These species have not yet been encountered elsewhere in the hundreds of caves in the area that have been sampled. Like dozens of imperiled species in the southwest, they are imperiled by livestock grazing, which impacts water flow, erosion, and water quality, or by direct impacts to vegetation, soils, and shading at the entrance to the caves. Continued livestock grazing of these areas is especially inappropriate since it is not private land or even multiple-use public land. It's a military base, the Army's Fort Hood. Please write to Fort Hood asking the Army not to allow livestock to graze on the base. In addition to military activities, the primary purpose of these lands should be protection of ecosystem integrity and biological diversity, not the private profit of cattlemen. Fort Hood is accepting public comments until March 6th. Here's the address. Written comments should be addressed to Department of the Army, DPW ENV Division, Natural Resources, 3rd Corps at Fort Hood, 4612 Engineer Drive, Room 76, Fort Hood, Texas, 76544. Let me go through that address. It is quite long. I'll read it slowly once again. Department of the Army, DPW ENV Division, Natural Resources, 3rd Corps and Fort Hood, 4612 Engineer Drive, Room 76, Fort Hood, Texas, 76544. If you'd like more information or anything like that, give a call to Melissa McDonald, 254-287-2885. That's 254-287-2885. And ask her about all those little salamanders that need saving out there on the base. Here's a sad piece of news. The Michigan Department of Natural Resources is offering a $3,500 reward for information related to the shooting of a collared gray wolf found in the Seney National Wildlife Refuge last December. The department is also investigating the killing of a second gray wolf that was found in Chippewa County last September. Any information about either of those cases can be confidentially reported to the Report All Poaching hotline at 800-292-7800. That hotline again, 800-292-7800, or to the Department of Natural Resources Detective Michael Johnson. His number, 906-875-6622. In a second story, DNA tests completed on February 2nd show that an animal killed in eastern Oregon on October 4th was a wild gray wolf, protected as an endangered species under federal law. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, along with Defenders of Wildlife and the Hell's Canyon Preservation Council, are offering a $5,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the wolf's killer. Tests on the contents of the wolf's stomach show that it had not been feeding on livestock. This is the third wolf in 2 years that had found its way into Oregon, leading biologists to believe that mature wolves from the reintroduced population in central Idaho have found a travel corridor to the west. Officials with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife say they plan to add a section to their hunting regulations cautioning hunters that wolves may be in the state and explaining how to distinguish a wolf from a coyote. And we're going to take a little musical break here.
Walking through the valley of the shadow, I tell you what, it's been a living hell. There were people all around me, but there was no one that I could tell. I've been walking through the valley of the shadow, so far down that I had no direction to proceed but up. No escape, no place to hide. A dangerous place, I almost died. I've been walking through the valley, now I'm coming on the other side. I don't know how, I don't know when, that I let this shadow army steal. I guess things could get worse, but if they did, that's not the way I feel. The valley of the shadow is where I walked. I was tortured even when I talked. So far down, nowhere to go but up. It's like struggling against the tide. No escape, believe me, I tried. I've been walking through the valley now. In the valley, there's only one thing to do. Get up, keep moving, get on through. When you're so far down, there's nowhere to go but up. Been walking through the valley, now I'm coming on the other. Walking through the valley, now I'm coming on the other. Walking through the valley, now I'm coming on the other side.
That's Robert Hoyt off his new CD, Mind's Eye. It's called Valley of the Shadow. This is Uncle Dennis, Earth First Radio. We'll be right back.